Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. It's Friday, Party Friday. Beautiful day. Sun's out. That snow is eventually going to melt away, I think, sometime in this century.
In the summer, yeah.
But we got a great show for you, brought to you by
AmericaCitizenPress.com, a great conservative website, one to check out every day. And Dr. Julie McCallum with Denver Cenogenics, as we say, keeping Chuck alive. Want to give out the Zoom number. I had somebody ask me for today, and we love to have you guys join us on Zoom. You just go to zoom.us. And the number, it's always the same.
Zoom.us?
Yes, it's zoom.us. Mm-hmm. And the number is always the same, 209-576-423. That's 209-576-423. We got Patrick Neville coming up, former minority leader. Now he's untethered.
Wild man.
He's unleashed. Representative Patrick Neville. All kinds of stuff going on at the state capitol. And then something else that's become really controversial we're going to get into at the bottom of the hour. It's at 3:30 Denver time. We're going to be talking to Holly Kaysen. On Wednesday, folks who listen may have noticed we had George Anthonisopoulos on, and he was kind of alluding to some questions about former Secretary of State Scott Gessler,
who's running for chair of the Republican Party.
Right. And these are some reasons why I'm not a voting member. But if I were, I don't know that I would vote for him. A vulgar, a vicious, obscene email that he wrote to a female reporter.
A story he didn't like.
I've never seen anything like it, frankly. And we're going to be talking to her at the bottom of the hour. And Thomas, whenever you get Patrick Neville, we'll take him too. But again, all kinds of things going on at the Capitol. They want to build a fence around the Capitol
to protect them from themselves.
Yeah, it's like, you know,
who trashes the Capitol? Not the conservatives, not anyone else in Colorado, but Antifa, who they think is wonderful. I mean, the Democrats.
Why complain? This time where we have, first Polis and the Democrats close the state down forever, and they won't let businesses open and operate. So then the economy is trashed. And then to make it further, so rather than spending our money on important things, they're like, oh no, we're going to spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to build a fence around the Capitol. Now, one thing they could do, just call me crazy, was go ahead and arrest the Antifa people when they stormed the Capitol and trash it. Look at all the effort the FBI continued. There was a tweet out today, help us capture these people seen at the U.S. Capitol. I mean, if they wanted to, they could get the Antifa people. It's just ridiculous. And so, I see we have
got Patrick on line three. Rebel without a cause. Hey, Patrick, how's it going?
Hey, what's going on?
I've got a cause. So yeah, you got plenty of causes. Let me ask you this.
It's been fruitless lately.
Yeah, really. We fencing the Capitol, Patrick.
The Democrats out? Is that the idea from crashing and graffitiing the Capitol?
Yeah, it's crazy down there for sure. I mean, we debated the bill today the lovely bill that Kyle Clark helped create when he was on the media advisory committee. And they want to, you know, teach our kids how to decide what's fake news and what's not. So, you know, luckily Kyle Clark was on that committee. So I'm sure we can trust him because he's a broadcast journalist that they chose from the committee instead of, you know, actually picking someone who isn't a political commentator like he is.
Well, you know, and not to mention there's several having worked at one of them or two of them, other TV stations. What's so magical about Kyle Clark, right?
I
could just see Kyle Clark. Kids, don't watch 7, 4, Fox, or 2. Just watch Channel 9. I mean, give me a break.
Just watch Next with Kyle Clark. Watch me lie, cheat, and steal right on the air in front of you. So you really know.
Well, and here's what's crazy. So when they did that bill, they gave the power of the commissioner of the Department of Education to make all the picks for this. Mm-hmm. And so they said that they couldn't find a print journalist to fill a slot, nor a rural teacher, despite extensive recruitment efforts.
Now, Chuck is a print journalist.
But you know, that's typical what they do. They've already got it in the bag. They've already got it planned. And so it's, okay, we know who we want on this. So let's go ahead and give this authority to someone else who's appointed And then he can appoint more people. And we've already got the report developed because we already know the contract we want to work with. And then a couple of years later, we'll come back and say, oh, this is a great report. This committee did great work. Let's adopt it.
Oh, I mean, it's just outrageous. Like, we need anyone. Here's a concept. I think maybe parents, you know, what a concept. Parents can help talk to their kids about what they watch and read on TV.
Anymore?
Can we say parents anymore? Is that not allowed?
Right, exactly. And they're saying, oh, well, this isn't mandated.
No.
Oh, that's a bunch of garbage. I mean, what they're doing is they're creating standards. And then we all know those standards become part of the curriculum and the actual basis for the testing. So that's what always happens. And it's the same group that kind of helped develop Common Core and those other great standards.
Right,
that
we're dealing standards.
With. And it's
and
our
then,
money.
Of course, everyone has to adopt the standards if they want to actually pass the testing. And
right.
So
if you have testing.
End up doing it.
So in other words, because I bet that the Chuck and Julie show might not make the cut. Mm. So essentially, our tax dollars would be going used to teach kids not to listen to shows that we would support. So that's a good use of things. Another thing I wanted to ask you about, like, seriously, are they serious about putting a fence around the Capitol, or is that going to get quashed?
I think, you know, it is somewhat serious. And that kind of took me by surprise because some of the reports that we had initially last year, at least when I was on the executive committee. So these are typically developed, these kind of policies are developed when State Patrol and the Capitol Complex folks come forward and they basically pitch an idea of like, hey, we need to upgrade this, we need to upgrade that. And last year, you know, we had serious discussions about this, obviously, of Capitol security. And, you know, the reports that I, at least when I was on the committee, came for is, hey, we need a better locking mechanism on the doors at the Capitol. We need probably upgraded windows on the Capitol, things like that. And I don't want to get into too much details because I don't want to give away,
what
could be security procedures. Right. But they were. This never came up. At least when I was on that committee, it never once came up. And so typically those get referred to the Capitol Development Committee, and then they can decide yay or nay on that. And so that was surprised me. And it sounds like it's going through, working its way through CDC now that. Yeah, they want to spend $1 million on a fence. So I guess, you know, we can have a fence to keep you guys out from actually testifying and saying your opinions on bills, but no fence on our border. That would be awful.
Fences don't work.
Fences don't work, Patrick. All right, another thing I wanted to ask you about, and then we've got a couple open-ended questions, transportation fees. I see, okay, so the other day, I couldn't believe this. I went to get gas the other day, and it was $2.94.
And it's going up
every week. And so now the Democrats, since they can't raise taxes, they're calling everything fees. I saw they want to tax, what, Amazon deliveries? They want to add some kind of gasoline tax. I mean, they're throwing a slew of what I would call taxes out there, aren't they?
Yeah, and isn't it insane? I mean, they just announced, with unfortunately Republicans joining them, hailing the great $700 million stimulus package that we have. So we have apparently $700 million that we can spend right now that we just want to give away left and right. And then what we're expecting is about another $6 billion of basically what's going to be my children's money, because it's all federal money that's been borrowed. And so they're getting that too, but guys, we just don't have enough money for roads. And I'm like, my goodness, you're going to spend something. You're going to spend my kids' money, at least build a road or something they might be able to use in the future, and quit giving all this money away and then trying to tax us even more.
Well, I got to imagine that's going to, like I said, I mean, I'm an Amazon Prime member. I hate to say that, but I am. And one of the things I like is the free delivery. And so now Colorado's going to add a 25-cent tax on it. I mean, it's just like you said, and they got money coming in. And above and beyond that, I thought, you know, once again, taxpayers have made it pretty clear in Colorado. They don't want tax increases without a vote.
Which fine Republicans are joining this cause?
I'm not sure about the fee cause, but I mean, we have the minority leader, Hugh McKean, was out there at the press conference saying, we got this $700 million stimulus package, and this is going to help Colorado families. And I'm just thinking, my goodness, if we want to help Colorado families, let's give them a tax break or stop taxing debt.
Yeah.
We really want to help families. How about we reopen the state and make them, you know, let them
go to school. That might help.
Trying to give them some more handouts.
Yeah, let the families go to school. Well, what else is going on down there that you think folks need to know about?
You know, there's just so much stuff coming and hitting. I mean, there's some awful Senate bills working their way through that I haven't had a chance to look too deeply in, and of course we will. But I mean, they're basically trying to decriminalize all sorts of things. So, you know, you can't arrest people if they commit all sorts of crimes. They're trying to work on different bills that would decriminalize a lot of stuff, like for school-age children, which we know worked out really well. That guy that committed the Parkland shooting probably should have been arrested beforehand if it wasn't for Obama policies. But Colorado saying, hey, let's go ahead and adopt these. Let's go really light on crime and just kind of let criminals roam free. And it's just, it's getting really out of hand. But, I mean, there's, it seems like every day there's something new that comes out. And gosh, one of the worst bills I saw is the introduction of this, what they call the public option, which is just going to lead to state government run healthcare, where the commissioner of insurance can just go ahead and set prices however they well please, which is going to just create a system where the best doctors in the state leave Colorado and we're going to have a lack of healthcare workers. Gee, that's what we want right after a pandemic, right?
You
know? Yeah. That's what I said. But it's funny because that's what they said before the pandemic. We just have too many people coming in and too much supply. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, a large supply typically leads to a decrease in price. And then, hey, a large supply was pretty nice when we had the pandemic, even though the governor told them they couldn't actually do any real healthcare work for quite a lengthy period of time. But it was certainly nice to have. And now they're trying to say, oh, no, let's just fold this all into one government-run program. Oh, and the other, you know, insurance companies can still be on the market.
Oh,
but guess what? The other insurance companies can't go ahead and set prices. So we know darn well, give it 2 or 3 years, and this will be the only plan in Colorado. Oh.
And again, how are they going to pay for this? I mean, I think it doesn't, this comes up pretty often. And always the argument that ends up shooting it down is the cost would be completely astronomical, right?
Well, yeah, it would. But when it's paying for it, is guess what? Instead of having your current insurance plan that you have now, you're just going to have to go on the state insurance plan. And guess what? We're all going to be in the single payer. And so you'll just have to pay into that. And they'll call it a fee, not a tax. And then you're going to have a shortage. You better hope you find a doctor who can actually accept you. Because like I'm saying, I think most of the good doctors out there, and especially docs, are just going to leave the state. They can't afford to pay their malpractice insurance and all their other costs if the commissioner of insurance is setting an extremely low price, which is probably going to happen. So it's going to be basically what I foresee happening is a lot of these prices being set to Medicare prices. And most doctors can't even make a profit off of that. They actually lose money when they treat those patients.
What is driving this? I mean, I want to pursue the crime thing a little bit, because I know there have been cases. there have been cases where I think the cops handcuff a kid and it's probably wrong. On the other hand, we've seen plenty of cases of violence in schools where probably handcuffing the kid is a good idea. What is driving the extremism? I mean, it seems to me that they have lost, the Democrats, all sense of common sense, all sense of balance. And it's just like, that's just fine. The craziest, most expensive, most hurtful to families idea we can, and then just shove it through. I mean, what do you think is driving that so much this year, more than I think any other year I've ever seen?
I've got my idea, which I'll give you.
Well, I think it's a total decriminalization is what they're going for. And it's really unfortunate because on a lot of the criminal justice reform issues, I'm kind of more libertarian on them. Like, I think if cops are acting in bad faith, they should be held accountable. Right. But this is going beyond that. It's just saying, no, you can't arrest them at all. I mean, what world do we live in where we are telling gun owners that you will be a criminal if you don't report being a victim of a crime and actually having your property stolen? So we're criminalizing that. But then on the other hand, you actually commit a crime. So, oh, no, you can't be arrested. So it's really just them pushing this far leftist agenda. And it's not even Democrat agenda. I mean, it's complete socialism.
It almost inevitably happens when one party rigs the system and you cannot win an about. So they don't care what you think.
The voters think.
No. Does a third stage dementia patient who they get to vote for them care what's in House Bill 2020? No. They've rigged the system. It's corrupt. It's dishonest. You've got a criminal cabal who controls the state. And that's all it is. Once you rig the election so the voters' views don't longer matter, then the wilder the better. The more crazy, the better. Power corrupts.
Oh, and if you want to speak out and actually say something, you know, they've got a plan for that too.
Yeah, that's
right.
Too.
The Ministry of Truth. Yeah.
And then if you want to actually teach your kids certain values and logic and reasoning, well, they got a plan to indoctrinate them too. And it's getting really bad. I mean, it's, again, the main hope I have is, guess what? I'm a believer, and you know, I know in the end the Lord wins and the Lord's still in control, and that's what he's going every day.
Be a couple days off though.
Hopefully he's
well. We've got the Republican chair race coming up. Do you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's certainly interesting. I think you guys sent me that thing email. Scott Gessler wrote, and boy does he like himself the F-bomb.
Yeah. Well, let me let so folks don't know. We'll talk about it more with the reporter he actually sent it to at the bottom of the hour. But she's a freelance reporter, has a blog site, and did a column about the election. Interviewed Scott Gessler, and he didn't like the way. She didn't say anything bad about him. And he was a small part of the overall column. But he sent her this email, and we'll show it to you here in a few minutes. Loaded with F-bombs, vicious. I mean, I read that.
Well,
and
it's just everybody. Everybody loses their temper and so forth, and I guess I've used an F-bomb, but I don't think I ever wrote anybody. As an attorney, you sit there and kind of go,
should I send this?
Yeah, that'd be a good idea to a person who's undoubtedly going to publish it because it's highly critical of them, and so you'll get this all around. I mean, that is somebody who's lost any semblance of good judgment, at least in my mind.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's a great point when you think about it, because I'm sure so at some point, if you recorded me for the next month, I'm sure you could probably hear an F-bomb in there at one point or another. But when you sit down and write it and you're writing a reply to someone that you actually know has been adversarial to you and you drop it multiple times writing it when you actually have a chance to review it before you send it, yikes. I mean, here the Pravda media in Colorado went after me for saying, hey, this journalist is not a journalist, he's a Democrat, he's even registered as such. And it was, oh my gosh, he can't. Here's Scott Gessler, drops the F-bomb several times. Whoa.
Well, to me, it's like when you got all these establishment Republicans talking about we need to improve our messaging. I would say let's get the head of the party who drops F-bombs. And I mean, and when you see it, it's vulgar and vicious to reporters he doesn't like. I don't know. I think that to me, that certainly if I were there are only like 500 some people who will vote on this. But if I were them, I would certainly take a look at that and say, what were you thinking there? And my guess would also be, that's probably not the first time such emails have been fired off, I would guess. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't bad at all, really.
Well, it is.
Yeah,
also,
I've known Scott for a while and never seen that from him, but it seems like that's accurate. That's what happened. I mean, I just, like I said, yikes. It's something, there's been times where I've been angry and I don't even think I wrote it down, but nevertheless, you write it down, you have a chance to review it, you still send.
Yeah. Unless you're drunk emailing, but the typing was good, so clearly wasn't drunk.
And we've got Jake Viana, who I just love. I really do. He's just a great guy. But he's the professional hit job for the establishment. And now he's not even in Colorado. So things are going kind of, I guess, not so well for Scott. And he's doing attack pieces on Christy Burton Brown, that she was for Cruz before the convention. Woo!
So it's like everybody.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I know. Oh yeah, she's certified Never Trumper, even though she campaigned her heart out this last time.
Yes.
I mean, I was there. Look, I was a delegate with Christy. We had signed a pledge to vote for Ted Cruz, so we voted for Ted Cruz. And look, I was kind of at first going, I don't know, Trump's not saying all the right things when he was first campaigning in 2016. Especially some major issues that I cared about. And then once he got out of office, it was like, oh my gosh, this guy rocks. He's doing all the right things. And it was I voted for him and supported him in 2016, but even after 2016 in office, I was more than just voting and supporting him. I was advocating for him as much as possible because I thought he was the best president of our lifetime. I think Christy was in the same boat. So to go after her for that, it's just such a cheap shot.
Yeah, that's effective.
I mean, it is a cheap shot. You're absolutely right, because any of those 500 voters has probably seen Christy around. And by the way, she is the vice chair of the Republican Party right now. So she was at the Trump events. Like you said, she worked hard. I saw her. She worked hard at those. Yeah, it's just a cheap shot. To me, it's bizarre, although I understand it. I mean, there's not much left of the Republican Party in Colorado. So whoever controls it gets to keep all the cash, so to speak. But the race has turned really kind of weird, I think.
Yeah, it really has. And I guess bless anyone who wants to do that job. I think it's a difficult job. But yeah, there is a certain sort of cabal down there that wants to, they've been making money off of this for years. And that's the same folks that I didn't continue on when I was a minority leader. So they did their best to try to take me out. And they've lost Scott Tipton's race. It's just been really bad. And those folks are trying to make sure that their piggy bank still gets full.
Yeah. Well, and again, the real enemy here is like the Democrats. I mean, go back to the earlier part of our conversation and some of the things they're going to do. It's like, we do not need to be wasting time attacking Christy Burton Brown or attacking freelance reporters who, you know, because you didn't like their article.
Well, it at least reveals.
It reveals.
I mean, it's been, obviously you do not have that kind of reaction if you think you're totally in control of the race. So it
or if you're in totally control of yourself.
Or yourself or anybody else.
So, just a sort of a final question, two final questions for you.
For you.
For me. Yeah. So these bills, these horrible bills that you were talking about, my guess would be they're going to pass?
Yes. So like media literacy bill passed already.
What?
They're saying they have the votes on the public option already. Well, that passed out of the House today. We got a couple amendments on it, but it was, I mean, they weren't insignificant, but they weren't great either. So at least we were able to get a tool where the public can weigh in. And then we made the CDLE a little more responsible instead of just the straight committee. And this is what drives me insane, because the elected officials, they're seeing, and it's kind of that corrupt cabal like Chuck was talking about. And they know that, well, the best way to get away from me actually having any responsibility on this, even though I want to do it, is we'll just make some appointed committee or this appointed official, and better yet, or if we can have that appointed official make the appointment to this to make those decisions, then I can say, oh, God, sorry, guys, I had nothing to do with this. I couldn't control it. It's the appointed officials. But it's already been cooked. The deal's been cooked, and they know how they want to work it.
Right. Well, and
Sandra asks, if we get conservatives, can the bills be reversed? Of course they can, but you can't get conservatives in there because the system's rigged.
Well, that's the next year they're going to pass a bill that say you can't vote Republican.
Yeah,
So what can people, the final question for me then is what if anything, do you need people to do to help you?
Well, if you guys go to takebackco.org, that's the best way to go. And I mean, it's not just enough to just get Republicans elected. You got to get the right Republicans elected. Mm-hmm. I've said this multiple times and I'll say it again. I think the biggest reason for our losses after 2016 on was John McCain's vote on not repealing Obamacare. And whenever Republican campaigned on that, including McCain himself, and then voted no against repealing, that was when we started losing voters because we didn't have any plan. So you can try to say, oh, we just need more R's. But no, you need R's that are actually going to do what they say they're going to do and actually uphold the conservative values and actually uphold the brand that we have, because right now we have no brand. I don't blame a lot of voters for having distrust in us,
right?
Because we haven't done the things that we said we were going to do.
Well, one of those persons who seems to stand by his word is your good friend Dave Williams, and I guess he's going to be on the Peter Boyle Show Monday at 7, so that ought to be fascinating.
We keep pimping.
It will be. Yep.
Dave isn't, I think sooner or later is going to send me a text and say, stop. But there's a Dave Williams for Governor website out there. He says it's not his, and I believe him.
We got
but
a Dave A. Williams.
But we think it's a good idea. So,
yeah, as do I. I mean, Dave is awesome because it's funny too, because, you know, we agree on just about everything. And then as we're going through, it's just, I don't know how he has the time and the day to be involved in as much as he's involved in it. He just cares so much. He's always out there fighting and just a real true patriot.
He really is. Well, thanks so much, Patrick. Great to talk to you as always. And
hang in there.
Throw some snowballs.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Patrick Bye-bye. Neville there. It is depressing to sit there and listen to the bills. This Ministry of Truth, we'll talk more about that. I got to imagine that that'll get challenged in court, hopefully by media organizations, if nothing else. But here I want to read this. It's like, don't forget Casper Stockham. Gessler was chair and mail-in balloting took hold under him unchallenged. Complete fail for ours under Ken Buck and Christy Burton Brown. You know, the only thing I'm going to say to that is I like Casper Stockham and I like Christy Burton Brown. I don't know as vice chair how much Christy Burton Brown had to do with all of that. We've had her on the show, and to me, she answered the question. I don't want to get all into that now because I want to get into this other issue. But we'll have more coming up because it does.
We'll have Casper back on.
We'll have Casper. Yes. I guess the way I stand, and I don't have a vote, is I'm not taking an official stand on who I would support or not support. I can only tell you who I would not vote for after this email fiasco, and that's Scott Gessler. I just think, you know, it just shows such a I mean, it's like Colorado's Andrew Cuomo. It's like, wait a minute, where did this side of the personality come from? And you got to think, well, it's been there all along, and maybe we just haven't seen it all that much.
Well, he does have the name, the Honey Badger.
The Honey Badger, so.
For a reason. And, you know, I'm not endorsing anyone. I don't believe it's appropriate for the, if you're on the executive committee, because I have to work whoever.
Right.
Is elected, whether it's Jonathan Lockhart, Lockwood. But
who's a Democrat running?
I can't tell you, but all right.
Hey, and you know what, Thomas, I'll go ahead and say, if you want to go ahead and call Holly, we could probably bring her on a little bit early. Hopefully she's there. And in the meantime, if anybody wants to chime in on anything, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. The Zoom meeting number is 209-576-423. And if you're listening to this on the podcast, you're like, hey, I want to see that email for myself, because we're going to put it up on the air here. You can always go to chuckandjulie.com.
And all your pornographic reading will be available to you at chuckandjulie.com.
All the F-bombs that you want to see will be available there. And I don't want to steal Holly's thunder too much.
Then
you want to talk about something else for a few seconds?
Oh, what do we want to talk about till we get Holly? The extraordinary border, which Biden is totally screwing up. And they're just so, oh, it's Trump's fault. The fact that he got it all under control.
What did they expect would happen? So what happens is, essentially, Biden says, if you can get here, you can stay here. We already know the cartels have turned it into a sex trafficking, human trafficking, I don't know, highway, basically. I mean, we've talked about this before. They actually have these like little digital wristbands that they keep track of people and their payments on. And what did Biden think was going to happen?
Just what's happening.
All right.
Well, we got Holly Kaysen with us on line three. I mean, she's become a highly read blogger these days. I went to her website, hollyataltitude.com. And boy, you get some great articles. And certainly in the middle of this present kerfuffle.
Hey, Holly, thank you for your time.
Hi, Julie and Chuck. How are you?
We're good. Thank you. I'll set the stage briefly and then kind of ask you to fill in.
Not too wordy.
Okay. So at the beginning of the month, you wrote, which I think is recommended reading. It's a great column. Some people disagree with parts of it, but I think everybody should read it. At Holly at Altitude, and that's AT spelled out .com, talking essentially about the election system in Colorado. And I won't get into that because what you did was you interviewed former Secretary of State, among many people, Scott Gessler. And why don't I let you sort of talk about the interview and then what happened, and then we're going to go ahead and put his responding email back up.
Okay. I had written an article. I can't remember what it was, but it was prior to the Gessler interview, and Scott had, sent a response to me personally for the first article, asking for me to, you know, retract some parts of it that he felt were incorrect. And so that's our first contact. And from there, I asked him if I could interview him for my blog, and he agreed. And from there, we got in a phone call that lasted an hour and a half. At the beginning of it, there were the only thing I really told him is that I was recording the call, and he said, yes, of course, that's fine. So then at the end of the interview, when I was thanking him for his time and how in depth he went on his answers, I mean, he really gave clear, long, honest answers to my questions. He asked me if I would not air the recording of the interview. And I was a little bit surprised because that's fairly unusual. In fact, I had never run into that before. And so I said, okay, all right, I'll do that. And I figured it was because of, you know, maybe some of the casual nature of the interview, or, you know, maybe some of the language in it that he used. I wasn't sure why he didn't want it aired. And from there, I took the time to transcribe the interview, which is different than airing the actual audio.
We had to use it for some purposes. So why'd you have an interview?
Because I want to clarify here a little bit, just because as a reporter for a lot of times, because I think you were right on this and he was way out of line. He didn't ask you to not use any portions of it, right? He didn't ask you to, hey, can you just, I shouldn't have said this. Can you not use this? He just said, don't use the recording, right?
Exactly. And I did publish that portion of our conversation online because, as you know, he sent a very angry email. It was beyond angry, in my mind, unprofessional, and
I think really that's a fair.
I can tell you this. I'll jump in because, again, I've been a reporter for a long time, and while it's not common, it's also not unheard of for anybody who does this to get emails or calls from people, sometimes angry ones, from people who say, hey, look, you misquoted me, or they don't like the way it came out, or whatever, right? But in my entire career, I have never seen something this vulgar and this vicious, particularly from somebody who's he was an elected official. This wasn't his first rodeo. And an attorney. Holly, you're being nice, I think. When I saw that, I was like, no. I mean, it's shocking to me what he wrote. And it's not even like you had it. It's like you had it completely wrong. He wasn't even the stuff he was complaining about.
I went back, because you have it up on your website, and read the transcript of the phone call. And tell you the truth, I found it incredibly informative.
It wasn't bad.
He really helped lay things out so people could understand it. And really, I thought, really summarized the last 20 years, ever since No Excuse absentee balloting. And you really understood it a great deal because of that. So I'm not sure why he was ashamed of it, because I thought it was educational. Well, boy, what was not educational
His
email. Can we bring that up?
Yeah, Thomas, can we bring the email up right now? And Holly, I'm gonna read it, but I want to let folks know you can see it. Go to our YouTube channel if you're listening and you want to see it for yourself. So I'm going to read it, and I'll read it in pretty much its entirety. Then Holly, you can come.
All right.
So he says, well, I just took a look at your website in which you list me as part of an election cabal. Also, I see that you provided a transcript of the conversations, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, you flat out lied. You lied to me. You betrayed me. You have no integrity. How can you claim you fight for election integrity when you have no integrity? And of course, your box is wrong, blah, blah, blah. That is BS. And he uses the actual word. And then he capitalizes this. You have not done your effing, and he uses the actual F word, research, and he gives you all these kind of things, and he goes on and on. He says, you have no effing clue, and again, on and on again, you have no effing clue. I make the mistake of believing you are one of the good guys. You're not. You're another one of the bad guys, blah, 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 blah. Poisonous combination of idiocy, dishonesty, and self-righteousness. I mean, and again, you can go see it, the whole thing for yourself, but I've talked to some angry people.
Take a good look in the mirror. Well, I think that, Scott, it's a good idea that you do that.
What on earth? Like, you know, like Chuck said, Holly, I could see maybe if he's mad and you have a phone conversation, he's like, okay, I shouldn't have used the F word. But this was something he had to sit down, type. He had to capitalize the F word all the time.
And he had to put links in. This wasn't a short exercise. It was not a 12-second Zoom deal. He spent some time on it.
I mean, have you ever received an email like that as part of your professional life?
No, I haven't. And what was particularly bothersome to me is that he didn't really attack or debate any of the substance of either the article or the interview.
Right.
You know, it was just a bunch of insults and
F-bombs.
And it just showed such a lack of judgment. And considering, you know, Colorado's in a very perilous state right now, considering the election issues that are going on, it's still under investigation. People are working very hard to get to the bottom of what happened in the Colorado election, merely to find the truth so that we can trust our electoral process. And he's running for the state chair of the GOP. Now, I'm not a voting member. I do not consider myself part of the GOP. So I'm not a party person. I really don't have a horse in this race, other than, you know, to make sure that information gets out to people so they can decide who they're electing. And I think for too long, we've allowed these local officials with a tremendous amount of power to go unvetted. You know, we just don't know a whole lot about them and their character and their decision-making process. And so, you know, while the substance of the email isn't particularly interesting, it does reveal how he behaves.
Yes, I think, and you're absolutely right. And we'll open this up if other people want to weigh in. 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Or if you're on Zoom, if you want to unmute yourself and pop in, you can do that too. Because maybe people disagree. Maybe people say, no, I don't think that's a big deal, a big effing deal. to me, though, again, this is a guy, and I'll say this, he has a bit of a kind of an Andrew Cuomo-esque, not on the bad with female side, but just sort of a side of him that doesn't always come out. But then when it does, it's just vicious, right? I mean, I've heard people telling stories from other reporters that are like, hey, yeah, you don't want to cross Scott Gessler. And yet he's the guy that wants to be the face of the Republican Party in Colorado. I have a problem with that.
Well, exactly. And, you know, he is very proud of the fact that he has this moniker of being the honey badger, you know, and fighting. But, you know, there's a difference between fighting and debating and, you know, standing firm for what you believe and dealing honestly with the issues. And there's another version of fighting, which is just lashing out.
Right.
And I think some people believe that his version of honey badger is constructive and a good thing. However, I see another side to this as evidenced by the email.
Well, and because a couple of things about it again. So here's a person, this is not his first rodeo. As I said, he's dealt with reporters for years and years. He's dealt probably, and will, if he becomes the head of the state party, will continue to deal with reporters and will continue to speak for Republicans. And you just can't use that kind of language. And as you point out, Chuck, you're an attorney. Would you ever fire off an email like that to somebody who you knew was going to be publishing it?
I wouldn't hit the send button.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just extraordinary,
yeah.
but it's, you know, and it, a lot of the information you brought in your articles and a lot of the information in the interview itself, I thought it was interesting when you asked him, well, did you ever think of challenging the unconstitutionality of HAVA or some of the other impositions on state voting rights? And he indicated, well, that's a high bar. Well, okay. Okay, then just submit. Okay.
Yeah. Just send him an email.
Yeah, send him an email about how much you think he ought to comply with it. And I thought that was highly interesting.
Well, exactly. And there is another portion of that interview that I thought was very interesting because, you know, some of us, I don't know exactly what the limitations or the possibilities are for some of these elected roles. And I think it's good for us to get our hands around what we can actually expect from our elected officials and figure out who's playing in what position. And Gessler said that he wasn't able to really influence, I'm paraphrasing, to influence legislation or to bring lawsuits. He said that wasn't his job. And
The Boulder clerk thinks it's her job to ignore state law and issue marriage licenses. So I mean, you think the Secretary of State saying, I'm not going to enforce this unlawful, unconstitutional.
Look at Jenna Griswold, the Democrats really play by those rules.
Yeah.
Well, and even that aside, I mean, that's something that you guys will vote on. And I think that's a whole
we'll vote on.
Well, I mean, in terms of whether you want a chair who has a kind of attitude. No. To me, I think one, and because we have to have you back, Holly, and talk about some of your columns, which are really interesting.
They're very informative.
You
obviously
the money.
Do a lot of work on them. We have one critical one here said, is she going to interview a Democrat on Dominion voting machines or voter fraud or voter anything And if so, who?
Yeah, if you read, so I'm going to say, Sandra, everybody go to holly@altitude.com because you did, as I recall reading the column, you talked to both sides. You made it clear, you know, it wasn't, we're talking about, I'm going to make this clear, we're talking about Scott Gessler because of the email.
But the vote show, the charts column, and everything else just shows the, what you call the establishment. And it is where the officials go in and out. They go to public office, they come out. That it's changed, and it really has. And I have in my own mind the old system where, you know, the only people who really cared about it were people who wanted to do the best in the public interest until it became a huge business. It's today a huge business. And now everybody's in bed with each other.
Well, and I think what's important again about this is the nature of the email. So if Scott Gessler, if this is how he wrote to you, I got to assume that he fires off similar emails.
It's not his first one.
Well, that's just assume that maybe somebody at the Denver Post or Colorado Politics does a story that he disagrees with. Is this how he's going to represent the Republican Party, which has enough issues in Colorado, and firing off emails to those reporters too? Again, just a complete lack of filter, the complete lack of judgment, and just the underlying sort of vulgarity and viciousness and unprofessionalism of it. I just don't even understand how somebody could have even remotely thought, oh, this is a good idea to send this.
Exactly. And, you know, I think it should be clear to your listeners that, again, I'm not a party person. I never have identified myself as such. In fact, when I was younger and in college, I was a leftist. I mean, pretty much as far left as you can go. So I've been, you know, transitioned from one side to the other. And where
we call it evolving
now is what
I've said. I did the same thing. And Chuck says I've evolved. Other people say, and Charlene, they say I've evolved.
Right. And so now I would consider myself an anti-establishment populist. Right. I really, you know, we have to work within the system. We have a two-party system. President Trump basically announced, I don't know, within the last month and a half, that there's not going to be a third party. And so right. I believe it's incumbent upon all of us to start participating in the GOP in order to make it a GOP that represents our values, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, liberty, the rule of law. And so, you know, that's my position on it. I really don't care if somebody's a Republican or a Democrat. You know, if there's something to say about them, I will say it.
Right. Well, and even
it's
then,
the truth.
I don't care. That's just not the way. Bottom line, that's not the way. That's why I keep referring to Andrew Cuomo. That's not how you treat somebody that you disagree with. That's not how, you know, we get as a reporter, you know, I would talk to, I had death threats and things like that, which I also think is inappropriate, but they weren't as sort of vulgar as, you know, and as vicious as that. It was just like, we're going to kill you. It's just, again, that you just don't treat people like that. To
make it clear, because some people seem to be unclear on it. You're not a big fan of mail-in voting, correct?
Myself? No, yeah. Not at all. Right. I believe that there should be a high bar for people who need to use absentee ballots. And I do believe that it should be an option, but it should be very restricted and regulated.
Like it was before 2000. Like it was before 2000.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
And
make it at least as hard as it is to buy a bottle of vodka. I mean, I would say that it should be at least as hard.
I need that vodka. and another thing that I found so interesting in the materials that you provided and so forth is, and Scott Gessler, quite frankly, pointed out very well, that you had all the county clerks who don't want to have election day because that can be stressful and things get struck, really using all their resources and money, meaning our money, to convince everybody that mail-in balloting was the way to go. And who were the heads of the County Clerk Association, Colorado County Clerk Association, which is, I guess, what somebody in there is paid, which includes Matt Crane, who seems to have got his honey badger hands in just about everything, including the upcoming election for party chair. He's the teller committee, which terrifies me. One of the persons on the teller. Could we have anybody more corrupt than Matt Crane?
Well, and he's a Republican, former Arapahoe County Republican Party chair, but his wife works for Dominion.
And he's gotten all these other positions out there. And he's probably the last person that I would trust these days, given all the revelations.
Well, and in the meantime, his job is to sell the system, right? His job is not to say, no, I think it'd be better if you guys went back to the old paper ballot. Well, let me, Holly, has there been, because we just heard about this Wednesday, and you were gracious enough when I reached out to you to come on. I mean, so I want to also make it clear, this is not Holly putting this out. You put, I think, a very appropriate response to Scott Gessler on your website, and people can again go to Holly at Altitude, and that's at, the word at spelled out, and see it all for themselves and see the email for themselves. You don't have to just take our word. What kind of response, if any, have you get? I mean, because I get the sense that the word is getting out a little bit.
Oh, it's definitely getting out. I've received more private emails on this article than any of the other ones I've written so far. And most of it are personal messages saying to me, thank you for telling the truth. We need to know this type of information. You're doing the right thing. And a lot of disgust about Gessler's response. And to me, you know, his response doesn't really hurt my feelings. It doesn't bother me a whole lot. I have a fairly thick skin. But, you know, the characterization that he painted for himself, I hope people evaluate that, especially because, you know, if we're trying to recruit and find the best candidates to represent Colorado, if somebody like Gessler is in office and this is the way he handles himself in that position, especially with the press, yeah, it will turn ultimately into stories about Scott Gessler, and right, it will overshadow the substance and the quality of the potential candidates who, you know, frankly need the press, need the help, need the exposure to get their points across.
Unfortunately, they'll never get it.
You're right. I mean, to me, that's a big thing. Whoever the next chair of the Colorado Republican Party, they need to do a lot more getting our message out there.
Well, and they've got an impossible task in the Denver Post, Colorado Politics, Colorado Sun. But
social media things. I mean, they can.
You try your best, but trying to please those.
But I think we need somebody who has a better communication style.
Level. Well, you know, even the rest of the letter. It is. There are not a lot of polysyllabic words in there. You know, it's pretty bad.
Well, you can go see.
You are a bad person. I mean,
yeah, personally insulting you. That again, you know, death threats, I guess, are personal. But even those haven't been as ugly.
He didn't make a death threat.
He didn't. But I mean, when I've received death threats, they weren't like this. Well, let me, Holly, because I will want to have you back to talk about actually your columns and just sort of tease and let you promote your site. Anything you're working on now that recommended reading for folks?
I'm doing a deep dive right now. I'm in the middle of research and I have somebody helping me with going into mobile voting. And there's a number of outfits that are, you know, going forward with this. The text to vote that the GOP is using for this election,
right,
is different than votes, which I had mentioned in the Cabal article. And the research is uncovering some very interesting connections. But fundamentally, we've got to realize that under no circumstances are phones secure. Nobody is in control of their phone. And so this should fundamentally, mobile voting should never be used, because we can't assure the security of whatever election it is. And I'm not talking even about the accuracy issues. It's just purely data security. And then you can go to the next layer of accuracy and manipulation. And I really question why the GOP is fighting so hard to keep this mobile voting going in light of how much blowback they've received. Now, one other thing that has come up is, I believe the system that the GOP is using this election, Matt Crane has advised this company. And, you know, there's just another conflict of interest.
And so then running the whole thing too,
I wonder why you know, why the establishment is fighting so hard for this. Why is Ken Buck just digging in on this? Why?
Yeah.
Why are they doing this?
My guess would be money. I mean, just going out on a limb there. Just going out on a limb there.
It is amazing because I'll be one of the people, since I'm a member of the Central Committee and also the Executive Committee. And they certainly seem to love their mobile voting. Yeah. But we'll see. There's some interesting developments we'll bring up Monday. Where there will be any mobile voting.
The grassroots are stirring. Well, Holly, thank you for your time. Again, I encourage folks to go to holly@altitude.com. This is up there. Other interesting things up there. Appreciate your time. And hey, let us know if Scott emails you back and said, hey, maybe I was a little hasty there.
Let's go to lunch.
Let's go to lunch. And I won't say the effort anymore to you. All right.
I sure will. Of course, I would do that.
Thank you. Right,
thanks
Holly. Holly there.
And I look forward to visiting with you guys again.
Okay. Here, and this is, thank you. This is somebody who's chatting with us. Party outsiders are the ones getting supported now. It's the people, America Firsters, Lauren Boebert, Jan Morgan, who have the only enthusiasm. A green politician is a good thing as long as they have conservative grassroots behind them. Let Krista and Foulmouth Gessler split the vote and bring in Casper. you know, again, people, there are 500 people who will decide that, not all of this, but I hope, you know, I hope that they take a look at that and say, is this really, to me at any rate, is this really the kind of tone that we want to set from our party leader? You might disagree. Anyone disagree? 888.
And Scott Gessler is welcome to this program and explain anything you'd like.
Right, exactly. 888-627-6008, the number to weigh in. If you're listening on Zoom, go ahead and unmute yourself. It is kind of, and just pop in and you can comment too. It is, like Leo says, what are these smartphones you speak of? The only thing I can say is, you know, just even little things like look at all of the like the spam calls you get. It's like, where do they get my phone number? You know, or how many, I don't know. It's clear that cell phones, they all teach us, right? They're not secure. Don't, you know, keep everything in your life on your cell phone. And all of a sudden now we're going to be voting because you know that's a, and actually, you know what, Chuck, go no further than this. The Democrats want it. If the Democrats want it, we just need to just say no. If the Democrats say, oh, this is good for the country,
yeah,
you know, like let's get rid of the Electoral College. That's good for the country.
It's good for Republicans.
Yeah, you know, and mail-in ballots, those are good for the country. Just say no.
You have a PSA, which needs a PSA before the PSA.
So, yeah, I do want to read this. My daughter is involved in, she's a video production person, is doing some video production for the folks who are involved in the Meet Out Colorado Day, and asked me to read this PSA because I think this is nice. And I think what happened, this is...
Before this comes, I want to note that on March 20th, I plan to eat as much meat as I possibly can consume.
Right.
Biggest hamburgers, the biggest steaks, and support the livestock industry. With that said, Julie will now read her daughter's
here. No, but here's the thing. What happened, I believe, is that Governor Polis, who has screwed over rural Colorado forever, basically took an event, the Meet Out Colorado Day, which has been going on since 1985, and turned it into this hostile cancel culture political thing, right? I mean, nobody,
yes, he did.
I mean, it was Governor Polis who made this poisonous. And so what this group that my daughter is working with is trying to do is get some unity, okay? Yeah. And so she wanted me to read this, and I would. I mean,
it,
you know,
it's
basically, a coalition is formed to dish up something that no one expected from Meet Out Colorado Day, free food and a heartfelt serving of unity. Any member of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association who orders a plant-based menu item from any of the 150 Colorado restaurants participating in the 36th annual Meet Out Day tomorrow will be treated to a meal for free. They say showing compassion on one day in support of the planet, people, and animals isn't about taking down an industry. It's about building community. After a hard and intense year for so many, let's stop yelling about scraps of food, drop the hate, pick up a plate, and enjoy a meal. So the offer is simple. If you're a member of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, you go to one of these restaurants, you can text just meat, and that's M-E-E-T, to 474747, you get your meal reimbursed. What it is, though, I think,
and
is,
I suggest all the rest of us go and
get eat meat too. The thing is, though, it's, you know, here you have Polis poisoning, literally, well, not literally, poisoning an event, even for their own his own side, right? It's why did he have to politicize this so much?
That's all he does.
Yeah,
That's all he does. Well, it looks like we're out of time. Somebody did say you're such a great mother.
She is a great daughter. She is a great
daughter. She is a wonderful daughter, if a little crooked in some of her things.
No, she's not crooked in some of her things.
A little to the left.
So that is it for us today. Remember, go to chuckandjulie.com. You can see this email for yourself. You can get all of our podcasts there. Encourage you to subscribe to us on YouTube and to our newsletter. The reason Chuck is rushing this early is he has another Boy Scouts meeting.
Oh, yeah. I've been gone for a couple of weeks. So
he's got him to show him this. The other day, I'm like, what is this? What is this fob to?
Can't show that.
Oh, so all right. So Chuck has a secret fob to Boy Scouts now. I'm like, what? What is up with that?
Can't let this anybody.
All right, hey everybody. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful weekend. We will see you all on Monday.
Take care. Have a good weekend.